Holy Gospel is found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. This will serve as the basis for our meditation this morning. Jesus presented another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while people were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the plants sprouted and produced heads of grain, the weeds also appeared. The servants of the owner came and said to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where did the weeds come from?" He said to them, "An enemy did this." The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and gather up the weeds?" "No," he answered, "because when you gather up the weeds, you might pull up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'First gather up the weeds, bind them in bundles and burn them, then gather the wheat into my barn.'" Then Jesus sent the people away and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered them, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are angels. Therefore, just as the weeds are gathered up and burned with fire, so it will be at the end of the world. Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will pull out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and those who continue to break the law. The angels will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's not easy being wheat. You're dependent on the elements. For example, you're dependent on rain. Do you get too little? Do you get too much? Is it like the Goldilocks factor where you get just, it's just right, you get just the right amount? You're dependent on a wide range of temperatures from spring through summer through fall. Does it get too cold early in the spring or late in the fall? Does it get too hot during the summer and so it dries everything up and you don't get the rain or that you need? You get too much sunshine, too much heat. You're dependent on the soil that you're planted in. Does it have the right nutrients? Does it have enough of the right nutrients? Is it stony soil? Will you be able to grow deep, strong roots in that soil so you can grow to be what God has intended you to be? You're even dependent on people or animals that happen to come through your field. For example, is it the farmer coming through the field to tend his crop? Or is this just someone who has no regard for what they're stepping on or crashing through? Or animals? Is it a bird or a deer or pest or some other creature that's eating your grain or burrowing into your soil or giving you some kind of blight that ultimately could damage you permanently? And then there's weeds. Kind of mentioned this last week in the sermon about sowing the seed, but weeds are the worst. Weeds are absolutely the worst. Healthy grain seeds can be sown in a beautifully cleared, nice big field. Everything's been cleared out, but you know before long, right alongside the little green sprouts of the wheat, you find little green sprouts of weeds that are growing there. And weeds come in all shapes and sizes. You got those weeds that grow up and they look just like the grain. You can't really see the difference until they're full grown. There's weeds that like I mentioned with the children's talk, they send out leaves, that big leaves that cover over the plant, and they take all the sun and all the water, or they take all the nutrients out of the soil, or maybe they're the kind of weed like we heard about last week that's like a vine that wraps itself around the plant until it chokes the life out of that healthy plant. Weeds are a huge problem for wheat. That's why farmers spend so much time ridding their fields or trying to rid their fields of weeds and pests to keep that wheat alive. It's not easy being wheat among the weeds. But that's exactly what Jesus is speaking about in his story that he tells us in Matthew 13. Jesus was teaching the people about the kingdom of heaven. But to help them understand these heavenly truths, Jesus had to use some familiar imagery. Now, last week we heard how Jesus spoke about a farmer who was just kind of tossing, scattering seed all over on different kinds of soil. But Jesus told other stories. He spoke about mustard seeds, which are really tiny, and yeast that works through dough. He talked about hidden treasures and pearls of great price and a seaside dragnet where all kinds of fish are brought in. And yet the story that Jesus tells us this morning about wheat growing among weeds, this story even made the disciples scratch their heads. It required a little extra explanation, which is not something Jesus always does with his parables, but first let's let Jesus tell his story. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. While people were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the plants sprouted and produced heads of grain, the weeds also appeared. The servants of the owner came and said to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where did the weeds come from?" He said to them, "An enemy did this." The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and gather up the weeds?" "No," he answered, "because when you gather up the weeds, you might pull up the weed along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, 'First, gather up the weeds, bind them in bundles, and burn them, and gather the wheat into my barn.'" Jesus tells the story of a wealthy man. The man's got fields, he's got servants, but he also has at least one enemy. Now, we don't know the reason for the hostility. We don't know why someone would go to this much work to ruin the livelihood of this man, but we do know that this enemy he has is very crafty in his plans, and he's willing to play the long game to sabotage the man's livelihood. This is a deep-seated hostility and hatred for the owner. Well, the man plants good seeds in his field. His servants help him. They do good work. Once the work is done, everyone is satisfied with their work, so they go to bed. They go to get some sleep. But during the night, while everyone is sleeping, with no one knowing what's going on, the enemy silently slips into the man's field. And he sows weed seeds all among the wheat. But this is no ordinary weed. In fact, we get the indication from the Greek that this is actually something called bearded darnel. It's a type of wheat that looks exactly like the wheat. That is until finally when they reach harvest, when it's fully grown and then reveals its true identity. The enemy, he slips away into the night. No one's the wiser. Finally, little green sprouts start to come up, and the wheat produces heads of grain. It's only then when the servants realize what has happened, and they go to tell their master about this. The master knows right away that what has happened was done was an intentional infestation. This enemy has struck again. The man's servants are eager to do what's right, to do the right thing, and so they come up with what's most practical, and so they go, and they offer to their owner, "Let's go and pull all the weeds out." That makes sense, right? You don't want weeds to stick around, but there's a problem. If those servants at that point in time, when the wheat and the weeds are young, they go out into the field and start pulling weeds, they're going to actually do some damage. You can't tell the difference between the weeds and the wheat until they're fully grown and reveal their true identity. The enemy was hoping they would do this. He was hoping to ruin the man's crop, but the owner was too smart for him. He knew that his well-intending servants would do a whole lot of unintended damage to his crop and would actually probably do more damage to his crop than if they just let the weeds grow till the harvest. Others, more qualified than them, the reapers would have to be the ones to separate the wheat and the weeds. The reapers would gather up those weeds, they would bundle up those weeds, and they would burn those weeds. And then they would gather the wheat into the man's barns, and the crop would be just fine. Now, when Jesus' disciples first heard this story, they didn't get it. So after the crowds had dispersed, they pulled Jesus aside and they asked him, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." Now, as I mentioned, Jesus does a lot more explaining for this parable than he typically does, and he matches up a lot of the earthly details with spiritual truths. He says, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are angels. The angels will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. So what's going on here? What's Jesus' main point with this tough text? Well, Jesus, as I mentioned to the kids, Jesus hasn't given you advice on how to grow a better garden or raise a better crop. Really, what Jesus is talking about has nothing to do with farming. Jesus wants you and me to actually understand why evil is still present in our world. He wants us to realize that even though the gospel is going out, evil is still present, but he also wants us to understand he is going to do something about that evil in the end. He wants us to understand that, yes, it is hard to live as wheat among weeds, yet we will live. So what does this mean for us here and now? It's a whole lot of talk about farming, and none of us live in a farming community at this point in time. The good news of Jesus goes out through us to the world. We share the good news of the Savior with people in our lives. We live out our faith. We may even speak up for it, but what happens when we do that? By God's grace, some people actually receive that good news with joy. Faith is planted in their hearts, and they trust in their Savior. But what happens more often than not? Others oppose that message. Perhaps they mock and ridicule us for what we believe. They consider us out of touch with reality, and maybe they might even make life miserable for us. And so we start to doubt. Why doesn't God's word work the way we expect it to? Why doesn't it change more hearts? Why does evil still persist, even though this good news is going around out to the ends of the earth? Who's behind all of this? Well, Jesus tells us that the enemy who sows the weeds is Satan. Satan is the sworn enemy of Christ, and he is the sworn enemy of all who follow him. He absolutely hates any growth in faith. He hates any victory of grace. He hates any rescue from sin and hell that Jesus causes through his word. Satan does not want sins forgiven. He does not want people to be at peace with God. He does not want souls enjoying eternal life in heaven. And so he sows his seeds of evil. He causes sin. He leads people to do evil, even against those who try to live as children of God. He wants to ruin what Jesus has done for us. He wants to kill that faith planted inside our hearts. That's why it's so hard for Christians to live as wheat among weeds. We would love to be free of the presence of evil. I mean, wouldn't it be great? Everything would be happy. Everything would be positive. Everything would be holy. It would be wonderful. Yet daily we are reminded of the reality of evil. In frustration, we wonder if God is ever going to do anything about this. We see things in our world. We see things in our lives. We see things in ourselves and wonder if God is ever going to do anything about this evil, if he is ever going to carry out his judgment and rescue his people. But he already has, hasn't he? That's something Satan forgets. Something for us to remember. God is wiser than his enemy. By overcoming all temptation, Jesus has already won. By dying for our sins on the cross, Jesus has already won. By rising from the dead on Easter morning, Jesus has already won. And if Jesus has already won, we can be certain that he will deliver us from evil. In the end, Jesus will win. He will still cause his gospel to win hearts, and that's going to surprise us sometimes. And one day, Jesus will come again in glory to judge all people. So we need not fear the enemy. But what do we do in the meantime? I mean, we're still living as wheat among weeds. We're still living in a world where there's evil all around us and evil within us because of sin. It's not easy to live as wheat among weeds. Sin in our lives robs us of God's good gifts of time and ability and wealth. The worries of this life, the demands on our time, the reality of evil in our world, it can choke our trust in God. It can choke our trust in Christ's promises. Our sinful natures inside of us don't want us to prioritize time with Jesus in the study of his word or in time receiving God's good gospel gifts and worship. Instead, the weeds of this world, they threaten our faith. They oppose every attempt we make to live for Christ. And yet Jesus still calls us to live as wheat among weeds. Jesus urges us to wait for the harvest, and while we do that, we look to the Lord of the harvest for help. We rejoice in his patience with sinners like us. We eagerly receive or take every opportunity to receive his forgiveness for frustrated sinners like us. And then we let his love for others flow through us in service to them. He gives us life that we may carry out the purposes he has given to each of us, to be fruitful with the gifts he's given, to be faithful in demonstrating his love to every person God puts in our path to serve, and to be mindful that he is coming again to deliver us from evil. That's our job. We have no other. God is the one who takes care of the rest. It's not easy being wheat. But on the last day, Jesus will fix everything. Jesus will come to judge the living and the dead. At that time, God's going to sort it all out, and he's going to deliver us from evil once and for all. We need not fear the present evil. We need not fear the present enemy, because our future is in the hands of our loving God. Instead, we can live as wheat planted by our God, who will one day give us life eternal, who will one day cause us to shine with his righteousness forever. And so with eyes fixed on Jesus, we wait for the harvest, when Jesus will bring us home to be with him. Amen.